The Jonas Brothers are running it back. Relive the Burning Up Tour and celebrate the biggest Jonas Brothers hits that have defined a generation. One incredible celebration. One unforgettable night. See the Jonas Brothers live across North America in 2026. Get tickets now at livenation.com. Jonas Brothers, the Burning Up Tour, all over again.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CT&C 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, Degrassi world, and we are back again. This is another D-Grads podcast with two of the actors who were on the show. Believe us, we were there, but we never actually saw the show ourselves.
Strange, but true.
And of course, we should probably introduce ourselves. I am Shane Kipple. I played Gavin Spinner Mason.
And I'm Mike Lobel, and I played Jay Hogart. We'll be discussing Tears Are Not Enough, which has sensitive subject matter, be forewarned. We are discussing abuse, chosen family, and actually a really grown-up moment for Degrassi. And of course, we're going to be sharing behind-the-scenes stories and answer your questions along the way.
And we would be remiss to not tell everybody that we have a very fun, active, excitable Degrassi community out there.
Yeah, sure. If you want to see our faces and support the show, you can visit us on Patreon at Degrads. We do bonus content there, and we also do a early access video podcast where you can see us and support the show, please, because really we rely on you to keep this thing going.
Yeah, we just did our first live a few days ago, and that was a ton of fun.
That was so fun.
Yeah. It's really hard to keep up with all those comments as they're coming through in real time, but I think we did a pretty good job.
We had a huge party, and it really did feel like we were all in one room hanging out, which was the nice thing. And some great questions were asked, some funny moments. We also got to share in the laughs, and like, you know, we were taking the piss out of each other and ourselves, and
our fans were taking the piss out of us. And yeah,
that's right. It was so fun. I want to do one every week now.
I agree. But before that, we should get back to the bread and butter of what this is all about, which is talking about an episode. Before that, though, we were just talking about Mike just recently, within the last 2 weeks, was blessed with a beautiful baby boy.
That's right. And he's 13 days old.
Mike is now looking at the entire world through a different lens, a lens that I feel I've been looking at the world through for the past maybe 10 years, but Mike was a little late to the party. You want to explain what we were talking
about?
Well,
look, okay, I'm delirious, first of all. I have had no sleep, as you can imagine. This is hard.
I'm crying parents you a river there, right now.
You enter this sort of like fraternity of parenthood, and everybody welcomes you. They're like, yeah. You didn't realize how hard it was until you actually did it. Even though we told you, we warned you, but you can't conceptualize it, right?
So yeah, it's because they want you to suffer alongside them. That's what it is. It's like, it's beautiful. And don't worry, the hard part doesn't last for too long.
Shane, I'm looking at you, bud. When are you going to come on? Let's get some kids going.
As we've said, I would rather have the partner and then the child than the other way around. You know what I'm saying?
That's usually the order.
Everybody.
No, good point. Looking around the street in my delirious state, me and my wife were just commenting, like, suddenly the whole world makes sense. It's summer, everybody's all hot, and they're pulling lint off their shirt, and they're like, you know, making their chests look bigger and wearing, you know, bling, and everyone's got the, you know, they're just trying to be the best version of themselves. And I walked around my entire life thinking, no, I'm doing this, you know, I want to be enlightened, I want to grow as a human, I want to, No. To me now, on the other side of this, it just all looks like a means to an end. And I think everyone's just secretly trying to procreate, even if you agree with it or want kids or not, mm-hmm. it, like mm-hmm. the imperative is so strong that it just comes out in all of our daily actions.
I was saying it's you can't fight biology on that level, and everything is just a more complex version of the mating games that we laugh at when we watch, like Planet Earth with the birds dancing
those
around.
Those birds are terrifying.
Except we don't just have to go with physical prowess. I mean, we have other options to offer something to the people that we're trying to court, like our you know, our status or our sense of humor, intelligence, jobs.
Well, actually, I just painted all kinds of like patterns on myself and did like a crazy dance in front of her, and that's
I became a pilot.
You became a pilot. There you go. Yeah, yeah. Well,
I don't actually like I don't like flying planes, and I'm terrified of heights, but I'm doing this for you ladies, okay? This is the sacrifice that I'm willing to make. Yeah.
I love it. Single pilot.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Okay. Now bestow me with all of your gifts and wonders. So this episode, damn, I really wish we got Jake Epstein. We tried
I know,
as we might.
It was hard. Yeah, we had Jake, him for a minute, and then he had some family stuff, and he apologizes, but maybe down the road.
Now this is the episode for those of you that know, and those of you that don't know, that Jake Epstein did win his Gemini, and I believe became the youngest Canadian performer to win. No, that's not true. Pat Mastroianni beat him by like something like 5 or 6 months, but he was 16 years old. And I was at that Gemini Awards, and I remember that I was never up to that point, and maybe since, I was never just so selflessly happy for somebody else's accomplishment. We were so proud of him, that because it was good for him, it was good for the show, but
of course,
like got to see our buddy get, you know, his flowers.
Amazing. And it's season two, right? You're still trying Degrassi, don't forget, it's not a given. We don't know it's gonna go for another 15 seasons. You know, like we're fighting to stay renewed at this point. You don't know how people are taking it. So what a vote of confidence.
And yeah, so it really did add some pedigree to the show. And I think it won some Geminis as a show, as an ensemble up to that point. But it's true what you're saying, Mike. I remember in the early seasons, like season one in the off season, you are waiting. We didn't hear that we were renewed until like maybe March of the following year. So those are like, that's a long waiting period from October to March to just be like, do I still have a TV show? Or if the show goes on,
do I have to go to school and get a job now?
Yeah, that's right.
That's what it is. And
then season two was the same thing, but we heard a little bit sooner. Season three, we heard at the rap party that we were already renewed for the next season. And then after a certain point, it was just expected. It was like The Simpsons. Like we knew we were coming back. So no one had any concern anymore. Yeah. And that's how it went for the rest of my time there.
But you know, I gotta, like, later on when you start pushing like season 10, 11, you're at a certain point, you're kind of looking around, wincing, like, okay, when's the hammer coming down? Is it this year?
But I was saying, like, thankfully in my tenure there, I didn't have to experience that. Season nine was where I was done, and then I didn't have to feel that, you know, that the walls closing in on, like, obviously the show can't go on forever, right? Like we can't have endless seasons left. But yeah, I the first two,
the walls,
three seasons
in
were painful wait, and then it just became it was routine that we were renewed, and it was an amazing feeling, and most actors will never actually know how that feels.
Totally. No, it's an incredible feeling. I remember always being so surprised when I got a phone call to come back, because the last three seasons that I was in, because I ended in season nine with you, and I remember, like, leading up to that, you know, the character, the new generation's coming in, my character slowly being phased out, you're seeing less and less of him. Every season for the last like two seasons, I was so shocked when I got a phone call. It's like, oh, okay, Jay's coming. All right, we'll do a little thing here, and yeah, a little pass the torch.
Many, as many folded suggestions that I left in Linda's mailbox about writing you off the show.
Slipping notes into her pockets.
Please, and... please, please. Yeah.
Now we have email.
They kept bringing you back. And to rub salt on the wound, you were there until my very last day too.
So, that's right. Yeah. Thank you.
Anyway,
I didn't realize it was by your request.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
No, quite the opposite, sir. the episode that we're going to be tackling today is Tears Are Not Enough Part One. What is this song title is it one?
So it wasn't so obvious. I thought when I saw the song, it couldn't have been this Canadian supergroup song that they're talking about.
Was it a Headstones song? No.
No, but get this. The song Tears Are Not Enough is by Northern Lights, which is one-off. Yeah, do you know this?
I know of them. I don't know the song, but yeah.
But they were like a one-off all-star Canadian charity supergroup. It was basically, it was like Canada's answer to Band-Aid. Do you remember Do They Know It's Christmas Time?
Yes.
Yeah. And We Are the World?
Yes.
We are the world. We are the children. So this is Canada's version.
Weren't we a part of that? That was the UNICEF song, wasn't it?
We did some UNICEF stuff, but I don't know. Did you sing? Did you get in front of a mic?
I remember being, singing something as a choir with the rest of the cast. Yeah.
Internet, do what you do. Pull
that clip. I'm pretty sure it was We Are the World, We Are the People. Yeah.
So this is Canada's answer. So this is all Canadian. So it's like Neil Young is in there and Joni Mitchell is in there. Brian Adams, Gordon Lightfoot. Burton Cummings, Corey Hart,
all Geddy of the Lee, legends.
Dude, Geddy Lee comes on.
Geddy Lee,
like, what? It's like an insane Canadian supergroup. You got to just go watch the video in all of its cheesy glory. It's.
I prefer Never Ending White Lights personally.
But okay, so as the song relates to Craig's father, or to this episode, it's because Craig's father reappears in his life in this episode, and he's seemingly changed, seemingly apologetic, but as we see for Craig, that it's not enough for his father to feel remorse, i.e. the tears are not enough. It's actually much trickier business, turns out, to change your behavior for good, and that's going to be put to the test in this episode, unfortunately.
The way that I saw it as like what Craig faces at the end, that like no matter how much he cries and, you know, repents and wishes what happened didn't happen, it's never going to be enough. So
you mean like from his perspective, regret.
Yes. And unfinished business and no closure. Right.
Man, it's so messed up what happens to him in this.
Yeah. I cried, I cried.
Yeah. Me too.
Craig's face at the end of it. But I'm going to have some controversial take or two towards the end that we'll get
it.
Into. But let's go.
You think Craig's a horrible?
Right. I think it's Craig.
All right, no. Let's get into it.
But without further ado, so Tears Are Not Enough, Part 1, Canadian air date, February 16th, 2003, U.S. air date, August 29th, 2003. Story by James Hirst and Aaron Martin. And because Aaron will not be outdone, he also did the teleplay. Wow. Phil Earnshaw, director. I really thought this would have been a Bruce episode, but Phil Earnshaw.
I thought Phil was going to be craft services this time.
Yeah, just wearing all the hats. Yeah.
Disappointing.
So we open on Craig, Sean, and Ashley walking out of school, complaining about their lack of ability in science, especially Craig, when somebody off camera chimes in and offers their help. And that person is Albert Manning. Da, da, da. The gang tries to be cordial, but Craig is immediately on edge. Albert offers Craig a ride home to Joey's, which Craig declines. So Albert follows up with a dinner invite for the next night. He just leaves it hanging and drives off. And we are left with Craig processing what had just happened. Yeah. Roll credits.
Okay. I'm burying the lead here. Aside from the obvious, holy smokes, Craig's dad just walks, Albert just walks right back into his life like that.
Yeah.
That's intense. That's a lot. But I just wanted to point out, Ashley, this is like her darkest version of herself. I don't know if you know this, noticed, but like she's actually peak dark. She went darker, which is great because she's leaned into her, you know, it kind of completes her arc from the previous episode, which is nice. I just liked how they did that. And then the other thing is like Craig's dad, Albert is like this sort of, if you need help with all your science homework, because I'm a doctor, but I'm pretty sure if you asked like a doctor who's specializing in, I don't know, surgeries or something like that, hey, what's the periodic table? They'd be like, I don't know. I forgot after high school. You know, like it's not like he's a tutor or something.
No,
I guess it's just his excuse. It's way back into his kid's life.
Possibly. Also, Mike, you and I can both not really attest to the finer details and the course load of med school.
That's
so
true.
We don't know exactly.
You're a pilot.
I am a pilot.
That is a heavy course load.
I just need to know about the elements that fill the air and how they interact with each other.
Iron.
He has to know what can kill patients, you know? But regardless, yeah, he finds his way back in and Craig is reeling, doesn't know what to make of it. Now, it's a chaotic morning at Joey's. Craig is doing last minute homework and Joey put some pressure on Angela to hurry up with her consuming of breakfast, which leads to an orange juice spill.
Yeah.
And
I'm seeing every scene with the parents totally different now.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
I was feeling it for Joe. I'm sweating there with alongside him. He is struggling and he's a single parent and he's got Craig is the only person who can help him. So I kind of get why he's like flustered with Craig.
Yeah. Obviously, with all due respect, I do not have children, but I have brothers who have lots of kids and I have friends who have many, many kids. And I will say, buddy,
so you get all the
wait
perks.
Until they can move on their own. Wait until they can swing their arms and hold things and drop.
Well, that's why they invented leashes.
Fair. Okay, cool. So Angela spills her orange juice and Craig complains about the state of their home, prompting Joey to tell Craig that it's time he earns his allowance and helps clean. He should come home right after school or early from school and do that. But Craig has plans to study with Sean, or so he says. I do not think so.
I've heard of kids lying to, you know, about studying at someone's house to hook up, but never to go
see
have
their parent
with their abusive parent that they've fled. So this feels way more dangerous than.
Yeah, but this is like the former, you know, typical Stockholm syndrome, right? Like you can say that you hate somebody and you hate the way that they treat you, but they still have a hold on you.
I know.
And it's family. It's a weird thing.
So there's like you feel indebted to them because they gave birth to you, right? They gave you everything you needed up until this point.
And it's also the only kind of love you know,
even
if it's twisted, right? That's the really sinister aspect.
This is so, so hard. It's so hard because nobody's a monolith. Everybody's got issues and struggles and nobody's a perfect parent. Nobody's a perfect kid. So there's going to be, you know, like even, you know, last year doing this documentary about my family, I wrestled so hard with the guilt of challenging my parents on their parenting. You know, it's like, because a part of me was like, yeah, but like you turned out okay. You know, you've got some scars, you've got some wounds, but who doesn't? You tend to minimize the things when you're thinking about all of the good times, right? And all of the positives. And there are positives. And I'm sure there are in Craig's relationship as well. Like his dad really cares. He really cares that he does well. And he's kind of everything else about him is a role model.
A role model. Yeah.
And there's a nice moment of role model coming up. But
It's like breaking, going through a breakup, right? And then getting lonely and spending some time apart. And then your mind starts forgetting about all the bad and just remembering the good. And
totally.
That there,
hindsight
maybe
bias,
there's a
right?
chance. Maybe there's a second act, right?
100%.
Yeah. Yeah, the sad truth is this is one of the reasons why people, and I might get some pushback on this, but why people find themselves in the same sort of relationships mm-hmm. over and over and over again. Because once you're groomed to expect a certain kind of thing of yourself and of your partner in a subconscious way, that's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And it's terrible. But I mean, like, you can't really understand it unless you're the one that is saddled with it, right? I've been there.
I totally agree. Me too. It's hard, hard to break habits like mm-hmm. that. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially habits you don't even know you've formed, right?
Yep.
So now we're in Miss H's class, and Craig tries to grasp the concept of covalent bonds while Spinner jokes about, he's gawking at Miss H bending over.
Oh, yeah.
But yes, Craig is in no mood for Spinner's jokes, and he snaps on him, prompting Spinner and Marco to mutter some comments and leave. Ashley flies in for damage control, and Craig explains that he's stressed out not because of the exams, but because of his dad's appearance. And not knowing exactly what to make of it, but he definitely does not trust it. Ashley plays the optimist, though, saying that people can change, which Craig then contemplates. In my mm-hmm. experience, people do not change. They might grow a little bit, but after a certain point, your core is calcified.
Oh, dude, it takes a lot of work. It takes it's work. It's freaking work.
And you gotta really want to do it.
Yeah.
You have to really, really want to do it. Changing yourself and your inclinations is one of the hardest things that you could get into.
So yep.
You better have a good
there's
reason
growth
to do it, or
that
you're not going to follow through.
I don't know what you think about this, but I think there's maybe two different things, two different sort of influences that can change a person. One is natural growth, where... Mm-hmm. You know, just life circumstances force you sort of down a certain route. And your experience is kind of imparted on you as you grow up. And then the other one is where you're like, this is who I actually want to be or who I don't want to be. And now I need to take steps to figure out how I can be that person. And that is so much harder than just letting life happen to you.
That's right. That takes a lot of self-awareness and then like the, you know, wherewithal to understand that you're going down a bad path. And but that being said, you probably are doing that not just for yourself, but for somebody close to you. That you
which
want
is what
to be
Albert's
better
doing.
For, right? Exactly.
But I also, I question Albert's motives because it feels like such a short time has passed in Craig and Joey world.
But really, it's been the whole school year, right?
Yeah.
Because that was episode one.
Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah.
But I agree with you. And actually, I retract what I said before. People, in my experience, the only time that I've really seen lasting change is when something really, unfortunately, traumatic happens to a person that changes their worldview.
Yeah, no, sure.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at
ethos.com. That's ETHOS.com. Application times and rates may vary.
This is Becca and Tanya from Scrubbing In with Becca Tilly and Tanya Rad.
Becca, can I ask you a question? How do I convince myself I need something before I buy it?
Oh, so we're doing that today.
Well, I'll be shopping online and suddenly I'm like, well, technically this counts as self-care.
You're definitely not alone there.
That's why Klarna stands out. It's about smarter tools that help you feel more confident with your money.
Klarna brings payments, cash back, and money management together in one place with flexible ways to pay. It helps you make smarter money moves without the stress.
That's the goal, right? Having tools that make your money work with you.
Download the Klarna app today or visit Klarna.com to learn more. California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license. NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
Now we're in Quans, and it is test time. JT is obviously struggling, tries to get Liberty's attention for help, but Liberty will not be complicit in the cheat. She finishes her test, lounges back, self-satisfied, and flashes a taunting smile to JT, not helping with his current state of affairs.
Yeah. She's got a strategy here, man. I feel like she's been waiting all year for this moment.
I love their dynamic. They play off each other very well.
She's going to shoot her shot, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we are outside, and JT sheepishly approaches Liberty, who deduces quickly that JT wants her assistance in tutoring. But Liberty has a price. Oh, she has a price, as we all should. And she wants to be JT's date to the Hawaiian surf paradise.
She bargains for JT. This is great.
Look, if you have leverage, come on. This is negotiating 101.
I would never do that. I could never do that. I could never be like, I'll give you this if you be my girlfriend or boyfriend. Like, I just don't think that's possible.
But you've never had a like, yeah, I'll do this. What are you going to do for me kind of situation? There's only one thing she wants from him, right? She's not going to ask for money. She already had her, you know, the sewing project done for her. So what else does she need from him? Except,
no, it's good. I like it. It's enterprising. I like Liberty in this episode.
Yeah. So after a quick protest from JT, he does accept the terms of the deal. Now we're with Craig. And he gets off a bus and walks towards a hospital. What hospital? The hospital that I was born at, people. York General. Yes. Once inside, he witnesses his dad reassuring a patient before said patient's operation. Craig is touched watching this and feels a sense of pride. This would be standing there and
it's a hero moment. It's a really nice moment. It's just such a bloody shame that Albert is got such demons, because he would be such a great role model for his kid.
The one thing that I did realize, though, he's reassuring this patient that the type of procedure that he guarantees success, but then he leaves. Then he leaves with Craig. It's like, and you're in good hands with good my hands.
I'm going out to
with
dinner,
my protege.
So I will not be there.
That's right.
He doesn't have the same record as me, but...
But the first time went off almost without a hitch. Yeah. Don't worry. We talked it out, and he promises he'll do much better this time. All right. Albert notices Craig standing there, excited that Craig accepted the dinner offer, and runs off to change. In this time, a nurse that Craig obviously has known from the past through his dad asks him about how his time has been at boarding school, a lie that Albert has obviously told his colleagues to explain Craig's absence. Craig covers for his dad, though, and is told by the nurse that this is the first time Albert has smiled since Craig has been gone. And then Albert, now changed into street clothes, beckons Craig over, throws an arm around him, and the two skedaddle.
How does that not just melt your heart? you know, that this nurse comes over and says, your dad has never been the same since you left. Like, I understand Craig's predicament here and why he's starting to really empathize with his dad and forgetting about all the bad stuff. It's really easy to see how that happens.
And I mean, you can get into his headspace here and think that Craig, for all the reasons you already said, that his dad is a role model. He's smart. They obviously have a history. Not all the moments were bad, I'm sure. And Craig would probably love nothing more than to be able to go home and have everything that he wants with his dad without those very specific things that make it impossible.
Yeah. So the fantasy maybe starts, you know, growing about having access to his dad without all the bad stuff. And you'd be so hopeful. And then also he believes his dad when he says he went to anger management and he's really done the work.
Yeah.
Then again, and I do think he did. Like, do you think he actually went to anger management and did
I actually do. I think you could see him going through the steps that he was taught.
Yeah.
Because he had plenty of moments that he could have let loose, but he didn't, which was also brilliant storytelling. Brilliant acting. Hugh Dillon.
He was great.
I know we've raved about him before back in When Doves Cry, the season premiere, but what an incredible actor. I'm so happy that he went on to do much bigger things. He's great.
He deserves it. He's really good. No, you're right. All those in-between moments where he has to like short circuit his own into it, his own
has to go against his. Yes. Yeah.
He makes a choice to do something different. So I do believe he's doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
It's just,
but now he has to put it into practice, right?
Yeah.
So doing it with a counselor, in a group when you're running through scenarios is one thing. And I'm sure like it's skill building, but now he has to go out and try it in the real world, right?
For sure.
With the person, he did it all for.
100%. And it's like, you gotta like tattoo. I even wanted to get a tattoo at one point. Just something that to remind me to like take my pulse, you know, just to like in a heated argument or, you know, whatever, you know, just to notice that I am feeling, you know, a lot rising in me, you know, and just to like take a breath and just to calm down, because you do need that finger, that string around the finger a lot of the time when you're trying to do that kind of work on yourself.
Fun fact. Do you know, what a cooling off period is? Have you heard of that term? Nope.
No.
So it gives a person 7 days, 1 week to return a product. And everyone should know this. You, no matter what you buy, you can return it with no restocking fee, with no penalties, nothing. You legally can return anything within 7 days. Because that is your period of contemplation where you're not excited anymore. You're not running off of emotion. And so that's the period. It originated with the eye for an eye, law, where if someone killed someone in your family, you were allowed to kill someone close to them, but you had to wait a week. You had to wait a week because it couldn't be a response of passion. It had to be like, okay, you maybe in that week you're like, my brother really was a piece of shit.
You had to have your reasons in
you
order.
Had to really mean it. You had to do it with a clear head.
Yeah.
But it was the, the
and then the courts would go, oh, okay. We understand you
did this. He must have really meant it.
Yeah. That's contemplation, right. And you're free to go.
Yeah. So you could verify all that. You could look it up, guys, but I'm telling you, it will blow your mind.
Love it.
We're at dinner with Craig and Albert, and the two catch up at a swanky looking restaurant. Craig brings up the boarding school story, to which Albert explains away as he couldn't really tell people what happened. Craig, it seems like he's pretty disappointed by this.
Yeah.
It, it seems like he would have wanted his dad to be completely forthcoming with how badly he messed up with everyone.
That's hard.
Yeah.
That's hard. Because you're asking him to take accountability. Yeah, I don't know if I would either. You're asking him to take accountability, his coworkers and his bosses. Yeah.
First of all, it's airing their dirty laundry to everybody, and something incredibly embarrassing to his dad is like, I get violent when I'm angry, and I'm quick to anger, and I've put my hands on my son too many times, and he's
I could see how maybe eventually he could find the strength to get through it, but only if he or to talk about it, but only if he had gone through the process and was kind of on the other side of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It might be easier to talk about.
Not at the top of the list of priorities. No. Work on himself first.
Yeah.
Take care of the white lies later, right?
Take care of the white lies later, but first is like stop the behavior. You know?
Right. Exactly. Like, I agree. So he continues on to boast about all of the work that he's done to better himself since Craig has left. And then they discuss the environment that Craig is living in at Joey's. Albert implores Craig to study hard amidst the chaos and offers up his help in any way that Craig needs.
Uh-huh.
You can already see that he's strategizing his way back in.
Mm-hmm.
Albert, right?
Yeah.
Something I also have to say about the episodes that heavily feature Craig. Obviously, they tend to deal with like very tough and dark subject matter, but the B plots just are a distant second.
Yeah.
There were like four or five A plot scenes for every B plot scene here. And did you notice in the final act? They didn't even have a B plot scene after the final commercial.
Oh,
that was just
new, kind of. Well,
that's new. I don't think that's happened at all. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point.
So Craig now gets home to Joey's to a steaming Joey and a sick Angela. And Joey questions where Craig has been as he was supposed to come home and help around the house. But Craig plays the studying card. I mean, that's kind of a hard one. Like, I have to study for my exams. He's like, no, you don't. You have to clean your room. That, I mean, it was a good tactic by Craig.
Joey is falling apart in this episode.
Joey is falling. I've never seen him in such disarray.
Okay? I know.
Craig then offers up his help begrudgingly to Joey. Joey accepts it in a prickly manner, prompting a confrontational comment in return from Craig. I like how Craig is in there now. I mean, you could tell that he's stuck between two worlds, and he's all the things that bother him about Joey's place. It's so parallel to if you're in a new healthy relationship after a bad breakup and then your ex comes back into your life. I can't remember. You've gone back to an ex or you have not gone?
No,
back
I
to
haven't.
An ex before. Okay. No. I have gone back to every ex. And in that, it's so.
Every single one?
Every single one. And in the time that I have, that we've been broken up, I found someone every time.
Someone moved on, and then somebody.
Someone that I could have, that to this day, I still wonder if I would have seen that through, would this be my wife? Every time. And I screwed it up because my ex called and I went back to them. And then within 6 months to a year, I was broken up again and the first ship had sailed. Every single time.
Well, you know, it just, some lessons take a long time to learn.
Dude, I'm 40 years old.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
This is Becca and Tanya from Scrubbing In with Becca Tilly and Tanya Rad.
Becca, can I ask you a question? How do I convince myself I need something before I buy it?
Oh, so we're doing that today.
Well, I'll be shopping online and suddenly I'm like, well, technically this counts as self-care.
You're definitely not alone there.
That's why Klarna stands out. It's about smarter tools that help you feel more confident with your money.
Klarna brings payments, cashback, and money management together in one place with flexible ways to pay. It helps you make smarter money moves without the stress.
That's the goal, right? Having tools that make your money work with you.
Download the Klarna app today or visit Klarna.com to learn more. California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license. NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
Nothing is more important than the last time being the last time I made.
And now you've said it in public, so maybe it'll stick now.
Right. Yeah, please. And let me know what you think, people. I'm sure I'm not alone here. I wish so badly I had the strength of character that Mike did to just, you know, once it's broken, don't even attempt to go back and fix it. But I have messed that up four significant times in my life.
The blow up of the relationship was so big. There was no, the earth was so scorched. There was nothing to come back to.
God. Anyway.
Yeah. Or I was cheated on and I just didn't want to be with a cheater.
Mm. Mm. Anyway, we're going to move away from this now. Yeah. Craig knocks on the door of his old home. Albert opens and Craig asks for help on the periodic table. Now inside, Craig makes excited progress on his knowledge of noble gases as Albert quizzes from the other room. Then Craig places his glass of juice directly on the table, which leads to Albert making a quip that if only Craig could now figure out what the coasters were used for. But Craig envisions an irate and violent Albert lunging at him with a belt.
Flashback. Craig... The flashback got me.
Yeah.
That feels real to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's like when you are bracing for something that you know is coming and then it doesn't come. You're seeing that other version of the reality play out.
That's your PTSD right there.
It is the PTSD. And they did it once. You know, normally when you have a flashback like that, you would, in something, they would say you have to make it a motif, you know, that it would need to be a device that you use through the entire episode or even in the series in general. So that you can set it up and people not just happen once. Mm-hmm. But it worked.
It was powerful enough that, yeah. And, so this leaves Craig catatonic. Essentially, he's frozen. He's unresponsive. Even when the real life Albert calmly explains that he just doesn't want rings on the table, but Craig still,
you feel
can't
the
even speak.
Yeah.
Yep.
And people are so good at sensing the intention and the feelings behind the words that somebody's saying. You know, when you're having an argument with somebody and you're like, what? I just said, take out the garbage, please. But, you know, you can say something and you can mean something totally, you know, different or way more intense. And yeah, I understand this flashback. I understand it. I think most people probably do.
It's also his first time back in the house, right? Since the last time he was beaten. Oh, yeah. Well, no, since he cleaned out his room.
His room and left. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But still, it's, you're just bracing.
He also knows that no one knows where he is right now. He's kind of on his own, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. Good point. If he gets himself into trouble, he's going to take a lot of heat for it, but no one's coming to save
him. Yeah. You're right. He is out on a limb here.
Yeah. So now, on the front steps of school, JT complains to Toby that he was really imagining a night of being able to court Paige at the dance and envisions a scenario where he can abandon Liberty after he passes his test the dance. I know. Which Toby shuts down. Even Toby's like, come on, man. You can't do that.
It's morally bankrupt.
Yeah. Then Liberty appears with flashcards for a last minute study session, but then quickly gets sidetracked by asking JT about his preferences for color for her gown, even though she knows, secretly hoping, but she knows it's not a real date. It was so cute. She still wants to wear something that he will like. But JT is not going to be baited by this and for the most part brushes her off and urges her to get back to the flashcards.
Mm-hmm.
She's bold, Liberty. She really is bold.
She knows what she wants. She goes for it.
Now it's exam time. And everyone has their heads down, hard at work. JT... Yeah.
Shane, I see you cheating. I see you cheating in the back there.
Yeah, right.
You're cheating.
Was I actually?
You're copying answers from somebody else's paper.
Awesome. Yeah, that would make sense.
Funny. You did a little side eye there. I thought that was fun.
I saw that.
JT gets an encouraging smile from Liberty as he works his way through, and Craig gets the same from Ashley on their respective test. Now, JT triumphantly walks the corridor with Toby, and with his surging confidence after doing well on this test, he spots Paige and carefully broaches the topic of asking her to the dance. But just as he's about to get the words out, Liberty runs up, congratulates him, and hugs him for a job well done. Now Paige is getting impatient. I don't know why she would have stood there at all. She seems like the person that, like, listen, I don't have any time to waste, so if you're in this now, I'm gone.
I thought it was because she kind of knew, she had a sixth sense that he was going to ask her, and I feel like she would have wanted to watch him crash and burn.
Yeah, okay. That's a good point. So she's Paige, like, is getting impatient.
Yeah, let's try.
She did give them those eyes, like, okay, let's hear it, buddy. Paige knows. She's no stranger to being asked out to dances.
I really wanted to know was, like, how she was going to turn him down.
React? Yeah.
I wish we got to see that. That would have been funny.
And there is, I don't care what anyone says out there, there is zero chance that Paige would have accepted offer. No.
Obviously.
Absolutely not. But JT is now caught and resigns to just asking Paige to help Liberty pick out her gown.
So sweet.
Paige accepts, but not before saying, for a second there, I thought you were actually going to ask me to the dance. And she walks off, leaving JT grumbling about, yes, so funny that that's what she would have thought, when indeed that was the case. Yeah, now I really wish we did get to see how that would have transpired. Now Craig celebrates being done with science for the entire summer alongside Ashley. He then asks her to the dance, which she accepts. But just then, Albert drives up and sullies the mood a little bit. He seems to be in a bit of a mood. Did you catch that? He seemed a little grumbly. He seemed maybe he had a bad day at work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe he was waiting out there for long enough, or maybe, as we see later on, he was not a fan of Craig's, friend. because he made a comment about her later.
That's true. Yeah. You're right. No, you're right. Yeah. He's falling into the wrong crowd and he's not.
Yeah.
He wants to control Craig's destiny.
Control, really guide. Yeah, however.
That's
what
it seems like.
And then he hints for Ashley to leave, which she does, but not before having to correct him on what her name actually is. He then invites Craig to dinner, but Craig is a little hesitant this time. I guess that moment at the table did a number on him. I think Craig is realizing that this is not going to be a simple change.
And the fantasy are not the same.
And he loves Joey for all of their problems. He really does. And obviously Angela is there. But anyway, Albert pushes through and tells Craig, essentially, be at the bistro for 8:30 when you're done babysitting at 8, and then drives off. So now Craig is babysitting Angela and gets a call from Joey saying that he's going to be an hour late as he has a potential sale on the line. Craig urges Joey to hurry, but he can't tell him the real reason why he needs to be somewhere at a certain time. A visibly stressed out Albert sits at the bistro, checking his watch. A server politely checks in, but Albert rudely sends her away. Now,
man, I was like,
I know. So what I love about Hugh's performance here, everyone knows that cliche is like, if you want to know how a person is going to treat you, watch how they treat a server. Now, even here, though, he makes the comment, right? Like, he mutters for the 10th time, I'm waiting for somebody, right? But it's still reeled in, you know? Mm-hmm, it's not explosive. He's angry. So it even seems like in that moment, he's still trying to
keep a lid on things.
Then we see Craig sprinting through the streets and he arrives at the restaurant. He walks up to the table. We're all imagining a scenario where he's going to be raked over the fire for being that late. But once again, Albert doesn't even want to dwell on it. He quickly welcomes Craig to sit. Like, no, sit.
He's trying to be a good guy now.
This really had me on edge, man. Like, I didn't know what was going to happen. And then, he doesn't make a single comment towards the lateness. He's happy that Craig is there. And as Craig looks over the menu, Albert hands him a plane ticket. And this is his present for succeeding in school.
Yeah.
It's a trip to Europe starting in London, but then the other shoe drops. The point of the trip is for the two to rekindle, as Albert wants Craig to move back home upon their return. He thinks it's time.
This is not the move. This is a bribe. This feels bribey. It feels manipulative. Now I'm just, there's no doubt in my mind that he's trying to woo Craig, his own son, you know, to come back. And it's got me feeling deeply uncomfortable.
That, I mean, I agree with you there. I will add to that, though, that it's not a bad idea to take a trip with your son who, for the last year, you've been estranged from, and then you guys could like really get to know each other, have a great time, and that kind of paves the way to living together again. Like, I understand, I see the bribery aspect, and I agree. Like, he's trying to distract him with flashy things, but it's not really I don't think it's a sinister plan. I think it's actually kind of smart that they go on vacation together and, you know, hopefully have a really good time before. And then his dad can, you know, uninterruptedly prove to him that he's changed as they were gone.
Yeah.
I don't know. Perspective.
Yeah, yeah. I would have done it different.
But Craig likes it at Joey's, and he jumps to Joey's defense when Albert implies that he's not living in a stable environment. Craig stands firm, though, which leads Albert to walk out, and Craig quickly gives chase. Now, even this, too, like, Albert didn't want to explode, you know? Uh-huh. He's like, he's there, he's reeling it in. And maybe it's because they were in public, but Albert doesn't really seem like the kind of guy that before would have let a public environment really take away too much from how he felt.
Yeah.
But anyway, we find ourselves on the streets. Fun fact, everyone, before we get into it, it's not this way in the United States when it comes to the Emmys and to the Oscars for performance categories. You have to watch the entire movie to judge someone's performance or an episode of a show. But in Canada, it's one scene is submitted.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah, for the Geminis, one scene. This is Craig's, this is Jake's scene that he won.
The now defunct Geminis.
Yes, but this is what he won for. They're defunct? They don't, then why do I even have this nomination over here?
You have to burn
smash this.
It's useless, Shane.
What use is the nomination anyway? Out on the street, a hurt and angry Albert, he storms to his car. Craig pleads for him to stop, but Albert rants about all the reasons that Craig will regret staying with Joey. He patronizes, he digs, until Craig has had enough and shoves Albert in the back, which Albert responds reflexively to with a backhand across the face, dropping Craig to the ground. The two are in shock. Albert is horrified. He tries to apologize to Craig, but Craig is furious and is out for blood now. Albert has no choice but to retreat to his car as Craig pounds on the windows, screaming that his dad will always be this person and he will never change. Albert is destroyed emotionally, peels out, and almost hits another car while doing this and leaves Craig a complete mess, cut cheek and fuming on the sidewalk.
Now, it was interesting to me that Craig pushed him first, right? Like Craig escalates it.
Okay. So here's my controversial take on this.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
Craig's the bad guy.
No, Craig's not the bad guy, but Albert is trying, like Albert really is trying. I feel it throughout this entire episode. Maybe his tactics aren't you know, ideal, like with the ticket and pressuring Craig to come back home, but he's trying. And in every scene, you can see evidence of him trying. And here also, he's saying mean things, but he's not getting in Craig's face. He's walking away from Craig. He doesn't want to escalate. Craig pushes him and he turns around and snaps for a second. And immediately you sit like,
you see the regret on his face.
So different from any other time. It's like he's so disgusted with himself that he slipped like that, but it was reflex, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not blaming Craig for this, but it was just a terrible circumstance that they found themselves in.
Yeah.
And Albert's face when he got into the car, he knows he screwed it all up. And I don't entirely blame him. I blame the history, but the moment just got away from him.
Yeah. I see a lot of remorse. I see a lot of guilt on his face and shame.
Yeah.
When he gets back into the car.
Yeah.
And I think he must be reeling. Well, obviously he peels out of there like, you know.
Yeah. And Craig, you can't blame him because he's young. He's emotional there. And he's probably been thinking for 8 months, 9 months about all the things he would say to his father if he could see him again. And here's the moment, but he did cross the line. And then once again, not blaming him.
It's a horrible set of circumstances.
It really is. It really is. And it's very complex. And I ended up feeling a lot for Albert. I remember the first time I saw this years ago, I felt a little bit for Albert. This time I really felt for him. I felt like a guy who was desperately doing everything he could to right the wrongs from the past and salvage a relationship back with his kid.
Yeah, true.
So Craig now gets home to Joey's and tries to walk past hiding his face, but Joey feels something is up. So he questions Craig and he quickly admits that he got into a fight with his dad. I like that he didn't even try to cover it, but I think here, this is Craig just like, he wants Joey to know, like, yeah, dad did this, never want to see him again. I hate him. He didn't want to cover for his dad in that moment. He didn't want there to be any misunderstanding about what went on.
Definitive.
Exactly. Joey wants to call the police, but Craig stops him, cool and collected, saying that he'd rather go to Children's Aid and make sure he never has to see his dad again.
Crazy. I mean, that's, I know. He's pissed.
And when he tells Joey repeatedly how much he hates his dad, even Joey seems to be uncomfortable with that. So he tells Craig that they'll continue this talk in the morning. That was brilliant by Pat as well. Like it's got to be just so uncomfortable seeing someone that you care about, someone who's a lot younger than you that you know is highly emotional. Like when you talk about hating a parent, it's very different from saying like you hate a brother or a sister. Watching a child talk about how they never want to see their parent again and they absolutely they despise them.
No, it definitely got me.
So
I also thought it was really brave of Craig to stand up to his father at dinner and say what he wanted. Not a lot of people would do that. They might, you know, just go along with, because Albert is such a powerful force and he's so persistent and he's so overbearing. And then there's the fear of retribution and the temper, but Craig does say what he needs and what he wants and prefers Joey's place. So to have this all come out of that, it's just, it's tough. And it just feels so real and so grown up for Craig to be going through something like this.
I thought for a minute that Craig was not going to jump to Joey's defense because it seemed like throughout that episode he was getting sick of Joey and his place. So I was proud of Craig for being loyal and respectful to Joey in the face of his dad, right? Okay, so now we're on the last scene. It's the next morning, and a much calmer Craig comes downstairs to find Joey and Angela. Joey checks in, confirming that Craig still wants to go through with last night's plan, which Craig says yes to. He wants to stay with Joey for good. Just then, there's a knock at the door, and Joey is greeted by two police officers, but they are out of earshot of what Craig can hear. Fun fact, those two police officers...
Yes.
The same ones who almost ruined our joyride that day.
Our resident police officers. On
yes, that's right. Derek Graham and yep. David Lowe. Derek was one of our props masters.
Yeah.
And David Lowe was our production manager. And they played really good cops.
They did. I love these little cameos by them.
Also, Robin... Second team stand-in played a teacher in this episode earlier on. Did you not see that?
There was. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, so they have this conversation at the door. The cops leave and Joey walks back stunned and solemn. And he asks Angela to go clean her room and then carefully tells Craig that Albert got into an accident the night before. But when Craig almost bursts out of his seat to get to the hospital, Joey stops him and continues that Albert did not survive the accident and then offers his condolences. And now we're on Craig's face, his entire world imploding. We freeze.
I mean, you know, this is the nightmare of leaving your loved one in an argument or you know, it's like you don't want to say something you're going to regret before you part ways the last time you see somebody,
because you don't want that to be
the last thing, right? Like it's just so messed up. I don't know how he's going to recover from this, man. Like, I don't know.
I was just watching an interview, it was a reel, but a snippet of an interview with who I believe was the guitarist of Alice in Chains and best friend of Lane.
Lane.
Have you seen that one where he talks about like the last time he saw him?
No. I might have seen it a while ago, but yeah.
Dude, it was terrible. Well, it was almost like it was the first time he actually said this publicly. He was with Lane, and the two of them got into a fight.
Oh,
and
no.
Because Lane was giving him grief for taking too many like downers, because apparently like he was basically incoherent and this had been a trend of his. And he's like, "You're giving me shit. You heroin addict, like what are you talking about?" Apparently he walked away from him as he was like walking out the door. Lane was like, don't leave like this, not like this. And that was the last thing he ever said to him. And next he knew his friend was dead.
This
and
I'm just kind like, of
how
thing,
how do you live with that, man?
This kind of thing happens and it haunts me. I do. I think about this, you know, if I'm not on the right foot with somebody and we part ways, I do. Yeah, I think about it. I don't like to go to bed angry, you know, like that's another thing. I just don't. Of course, it happens sometimes, but I really don't like it, going to bed angry. Although psychologists say go to bed angry, because like,
really?
When you're, yeah, they do. Because you can't solve something often when you're exhausted.
Yeah, and you need some time.
People tend to say things they don't mean, right? So that you can't take back necessarily. So that's a thing that I saw. And I was like, oh, yeah, maybe that is a little true. Sometimes you just need your space. But yeah, I don't know, man. This is just a part of life. It happens a lot, I'm sure. And it's awful. It's so tragic.
I can't tell. I mean, I don't care what psychologists say. I'm of the like all's well that ends well. Camp that if you can have an incredible night with a person and then if it ends on a sour note, that's the night. You don't think about all the good, you think about the way it ended, right?
Yeah,
so
sure,
I don't want to go to bed angry. But that might be why I'm single right now. So
You need to start going to bed more angry, and then you're
yeah,
going
that's
up with
right,
a girlfriend.
That's right. Yeah,
yeah, crazy. Yeah, sad episode, guys. Wow.
Incredible performances.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Incredible performances.
Yep.
I really wish that we could have gotten Jake. Obviously, Hugh Dillon would have been great too. But
maybe next season. Well, Hugh can't come on next season because he's
no, he can't. There only would have been two chances for it. This was the last chance. Otherwise, it just wouldn't make sense. Well, we talked a lot, and we get so many questions from you fans. Like Mike said, we answer a lot of them. We do lives. We do a little between period segments where we get to fan questions on Patreon, but that is subscription only. We also get, you know, questions and comments through other means. How does that happen, Mike?
We've got a Discord, so you can find us on Discord at dgrads, and we also are available via email. You can reach us at dgradspodcast@gmail.com. Send us your questions, your comments. We've got a question. We got a Discord question here from Mimpra586. I hope I'm saying that right. As a person living with PTSD, I'm curious, how did you guys deal with filming things that could be triggering? For example, Paige in Shout deals with SA, and Craig in When Doves Cry deals with being abused. And the same goes for this episode. Do you remember, you know, having to deal with anything really heavy and like how you dealt with that?
Thankfully, there's nothing, or there wasn't anything at that time that was going to be triggering anything unresolved for me. So there wasn't anything that I did on Degrassi or any of the other projects that I had trouble doing because it was triggering from something from the past. How about you?
We didn't have storylines that got into stuff that triggered us, I don't think. I mean, you had a cancer storyline that would have been tough to play, but nothing like, you know, if you had gone through that in real life, I'm sure you would have had some feelings about it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you can empathize, but like, yeah, we really, really, really didn't.
So Mimpra586, if you want to look into something that might be really enlightening for you, there was a show that was filmed in the mid 2010s called Kingdom with Frank Grillo. And one of the actresses on the show, Kiel Sanchez, her storyline, she gets pregnant in the show, but they had to work it in because she was pregnant in real life. She lost that baby late term.
Wow.
And she worked with the creator of the show and the writers to incorporate that into her storyline. The first time that you saw her after their mid-season break, she had to wear a prosthetic. She did not know what she was. She was still reeling from what she had gone through in her personal life, and then had to harness that she was nowhere close to fully healed from for everyone's entertainment. So that's a really interesting story.
That's an interesting story. And that sounds so painful. But at the same time, you know, if it was considered, you know, thoroughly, and she worked with the creators, and like this is how you can maybe use art as a processing tool. Right.
Yeah. Or it could backfire on you. You don't know. Right. It's so soon at that point. You don't know what you need. Right.
Yeah. Damn. That's,
yeah, I know. But that's
tricky.
That's what she did. It's very interesting. Look into it.
Yeah. Okay. Art processing grief, and art imitates life, and life is often full of grief. But we enjoyed the episode.
We did.
And let's go to one more email.
Okay.
This email is from Krista. And Krista says, "Hi, guys. Not a question, but I've been missing my brother who passed away in 2013. And one of the things we used to do was watch Degrassi together. So I've been rewatching just to feel close to him again. I just wanted to say, sorry, I'm getting choked up. I just wanted to say thank you for being a part of something that has made such an impact in so many people's lives. The show is such a comfort for me in hard times, and I'm so grateful I get the chance to thank you guys. Truly a blessing. Much love, Krista." Thank you, Krista. We are, I mean, we're here with you, and we're just happy that we can bring you closer to your brother and to the memory of your brother, and to give you some good memories and to keep those going. We're honored.
Krista, yeah, so sorry for your loss. And I mean, we're very grateful that we can be there for you in some way.
We love you.
Yeah. Okay, guys.
All right.
Well, Mike cried in this episode. I cried in this episode. I cried watching the episode. Not every recap can be, you know, all rainbows and gumdrops, but we're here for the heavy ones too.
Well, we can look forward to JT and Liberty, right?
Next week will be Tears Are Not Enough Part 2. We'll wrap up season 2. Can't believe that. And then Mike and I are excited to get to season 3 because it's almost time for Jay Hogarth's arrival.
Oh boy.
Yeah. But until then, we bid you adieu. This has been another DGrads podcast with Shane Kippel, Mike Lobel, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Looking for your next thrifting experience? Check out the new Goodwill Columbus location in Westerville. Our new store is full of the latest secondhand selections with options rotating daily. From warm weather clothes to home decor, you may find your new favorite items just in time for spring. Each purchase helps us create opportunities throughout Central Ohio. It's shopping that looks good, feels good, and does good. Come shop at 60 East Schrock Road or learn more at goodwillcolumbus.org.
From athletic stuff like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.